Our study this afternoon will follow the teaching of Paul David Tripp's book, War of Words, as chapter number 7, which is titled Speaking for the King. He opens up the chapter saying, in a straightforward fashion, this chapter is about God's mission for our mouths. And so we've been setting the stage quite a bit by describing some of the heart condition and the troubles that we have and the origin of the troubles that we have with our conversations as coming from hearts that are either fallen for the non-Christian or for the Christian, hearts that are still tangled with mixed motives and the presence of sin that's still in us, and our conversation reflects that, and there's something of a shift now in the studies that is going to think more and more about the positive aspect of how we can use our words to speak for the King and reflect that, those heart values. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21. Let's take a verse apiece and read around. Jonathan, would you start there and take that first verse? Or Aaron, if you'd like to jump in there, that'd be fine.
Are we starting again?
Verse 11.
Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience.
We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearances and not about what is in the heart.
Now let's go back this way, I guess. Amber, would you go next?
For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you.
For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died.
And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again.
Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer.
Yeah, go ahead,
therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God.
For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God.
I want you to begin by thinking especially of verse 20, where it says that we are ambassadors for Christ. This is a term that we've considered before in other settings, but I'd like to elaborate a little bit on that just to make sure that we're all on the same page. What does an ambassador do? What is an ambassador? Anyone can answer that question.
Carries the message from who sent him. He also represents the person who sent him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very good. An ambassador represents a sending, let's take it in the terms of a nation. We think of it especially in that way. If there is an ambassador of the United States to the country of China, for instance, that person would represent the United States and travel to China and would, in a sense, speak for the United States. That person would carry the interests of the U.S. And would communicate those things to the country where they are stationed. Imagine if there were an ambassador from a foreign country who behaved badly, and how that might reflect on its sending country. Or if you were an ambassador to a foreign country representing the United States and behaved badly, and how your attitudes or actions might reflect on the U.S. On the other hand, think about how taking up the role of an ambassador can really enliven or inspire you to serve in a certain way. You're taking up the role of really the United States, and taking up the interests and direction and purposes of the United States and representing them in a foreign country. And that's what's behind this idea or this phrase that Paul uses, that we are ambassadors for Christ. And we're going to think this afternoon about what it means to be called to be an ambassador, especially in terms of our conversation and how it's reflected in how we talk. There are three aspects of being an ambassador for the King of Kings that we're going to consider this afternoon. They are the character, the mission, and the methods that are bound up in what it means to be an ambassador. By way of character, first of all, Mr. Tripp points out that we are called and we need to speak with an understanding that we are God's ambassadors. Paul says that you represent Christ, that the old has gone and that the new has come. You are a new creature in Christ, and that newness influences every aspect of our being. You'll remember that in our lessons previously, we've especially reflected on how out of the heart comes all manner of evil, all manner of wickedness, and that pointing to the grave necessity for the new birth, the newness of heart. And that's what Paul says happens upon our conversion, is that we are a brand new in our character, and that character is going to influence everything that we do, and apply it especially out of the heart. Out of that new character comes conversation that is reflective of our love for God. In our relationship with the Lord, then, in a vertical fashion, we think of our vertical relationship with God. That relationship with God is also reflected in our horizontal relationships with each other, which is in keeping with what Christ says is the summary of the law, that we are to love God as the first commandment, and second commandment is love myself, right? I saw some heads shaking. Oh, second commandment is to love my neighbor as myself. I skipped over some.
To love ourselves.
That's right. Well said. We don't need to be commanded that. That comes all too naturally. We're commanded to love God and love ourselves. So the vertical relationship with God is worked out in our horizontal relationship with each other. Negatively speaking, we can say that our horizontal relationship before, that our conversation would have been flavored or controlled by a heart that is self-seeking, loving self, right? There's that self-love that comes naturally, and our conversation naturally reflects that. Okay. We've seen in our previous studies that that since we love ourselves, that our conversation tries to advance our own agenda when we talk. That's the typical sinful pattern for our conversation, is to either put forward our own interests, try to control others. We've seen how our anger is reflective of when we don't get our own way. And instead, we have been remade. And we are now new creations. We are ambassadors of Christ. And as ambassadors of Christ, there is a complete shift in our hearts and a complete shift in our conversation. Think again of the role of an ambassador. Imagine again if you were an ambassador to a foreign country and you put forward an agenda for that foreign country that said all the income or all of the taxes that are raised in your country need to come and be put into my bank account. You may be putting forward a self-serving agenda. But instead of that, the agenda comes from the United States, or the agenda comes from, in this case, the King. And we don't speak for ourselves, we speak for the one who has redeemed us. One of the fundamental questions that needs to be answered is, who are you living for? Are you living for yourself, or are you living for Christ? One word that Tripp uses to describe this is incarnational. Maybe you've heard that word before. It is a very good word to describe how we are called to represent Christ. We are, in a sense, living out Christ in the world and participate in an incarnational ministry. Now, we know the word incarnation from the fact that God became man in the flesh, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became man. That's the incarnation, capital I. But we are Christ-like. Christ, it says here, Paul says, Christ appeals through us. We are participating in a Christ-likeness in our ambassadorship. So our conversation becomes controlled not by self-interest or by desire for our control or our own advancement, but instead our character is changed, which leads to an adopting of Christ's mission in the world, which is the second aspect that we're going to think about here. An ambassador needs to understand that we speak out of the King's mission rather than our own mission. That answers the question, what is he doing? What are his goals? What is he wanting to accomplish? Look at verse 15 again in 2 Corinthians 5. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Paul is saying that God is at work in us so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but that we would live for him. There's a completely new agenda that is given to us. That means that in our conversations, especially, I got a little bit ahead of myself earlier. In our conversation, our words are going to be used to put forward God's agenda and Christ's agenda rather than our own. If we think about where we've been and what we've discovered before about our conversation, we have seen that at times we use our words to control others. But instead of that, we set aside our self-interest and let the mission of Christ be what is reflected in our words rather than our own self-interest. Again, we've seen in the past that sometimes our words will blurt out in anger when we don't get what we want. We could think of the flip side of being a new creature in Christ, that the new mission revolves not around the things that we desire, not around the stuff of this world, but instead revolves around what God is valued and what God is doing. We need to be reminded that God's mission and agenda is spiritual, and that we are called to relate to the world from His perspective. And that will shift the way your conversation turns, especially as we noted last week, when in God's providence we go through the trials of this life and may go through need or want or even be deprived of certain things of this world. It's in that context especially that when our eyes are set on Christ and His kingdom, that it shifts our opinion of what happens in this world. And the specific aspect of complaining that was so much a theme of last week's study will be modified or will be changed when we come to see that Christ's mission is very different than a worldly mission. Christ's mission also gives rise to a certain method. And the last thing that we'll consider here also comes from 2 Corinthians 5, where we can glean from this also some aspects of how we communicate with each other and some of the tools that God has given to us. The first thing that you see in 2 Corinthians 5 is that we are controlled by the love of Christ. You see that in verse 14, just put very bluntly, that Paul says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." This leads to especially an attitude of self-sacrifice in our conversation. By that I mean that we die to ourselves. If you think about in your own arguments or your own instances where conversations have gone poorly, you might be able to identify at times where the heart of the issue has been that you feel like you've been wronged, where either rightly you've assessed that, or you may just be offended because you feel like you should have gotten something that somebody else did. And instead of letting our words by way of method, letting our words rise up to defend self and to become self-seeking, Paul talks about the love of Christ compelling us. And as Christ laid down His life, one dying for all, that we find ourselves being dead in Christ. And we reckon ourselves that way. We count ourselves as being dead in Christ. Now, our self-sacrifice is not the same as Christ. His accomplishes justification. But there is a manner of speaking to each other that reflects that our love for Christ is governing our love for each other. Self-sacrifice then becomes part of the way that you treat one another, and especially reflected in your conversation. A second tool or a second aspect to the method that Tripp draws attention to is the practice of forgiveness, and how forgiveness is practiced towards us because of Christ's forgiveness of us. It then becomes a practice of forgiveness of each other. It becomes a practice of the Christian church to forgive each other. Tripp says this about forgiveness: it is because of God's promise to fully and completely forgive us that we have come out of hiding, out of a life of excuses, blame-shifting, defensiveness, self-righteousness, and self-protection, to confess our sins. In doing so, we represent Christ to others. Think of that list again of some of those sins that are characteristic of self-seeking and an unforgiving heart. The idea of excuses, blame-shifting, defensiveness, self-righteousness, self-protection. Each of those is especially seen in the way that we talk with each other. Consequently, putting on forgiveness instead addresses those, and addresses them from a heart that has received forgiveness. And Tripp calls attention to this in a way that I found very interesting. It says that it's because we've been forgiven that we come out from hiding. And I like that way of describing it. And the hiding is behind these, the way we use our words. We're hiding behind our excuses, our blaming someone else, our protection, our self-righteousness, our defensiveness. They are to hide ourselves. As I thought about that, it is I found myself there. I found that it is very true that when I don't want to either deal with my own sin, when I'm hiding, then I deflect attention from myself, and my words come to cause conflict and really do divert attention from myself. In the fact that we have been forgiven, we practice forgiveness, and in doing so, we represent Christ. We are ambassadors. One of the ways that you will stand out from the world, I would even say, is that when you do not bear a grudge, when you do forgive when someone asks your forgiveness, and when you seek another's forgiveness, that in that process that you will really be an ambassador for Christ in your words. And finally, reconciliation. Reconciliation means to resolve conflict so as to restore a relationship. Here again, we have been reconciled to God in Jesus Christ, and we have also been given a ministry of reconciliation. It's an astounding verse to see that God is pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Again, a quote from Tripp. He says that human problems are opportunities God can use to draw the people around us into a fuller and deeper fellowship with Him. Thus we speak words of peace, words that restore, words that encourage fellowship and unity. Sometimes the negative is easier to illustrate or to see, just because it's so common in the world. Conflict drives people apart. Conflict, especially with words that stir up anger or bitterness or jealousy, those type of words divide. But instead, God has given us a ministry of reconciliation and a truly incarnational ministry to represent Christ in a way that seeks to solve and to resolve conflict so as to restore relationships. In your conversations, then, take on the character of an ambassador, really the character of Christ. You are His representative in the world. Take on His mission. Set aside the self-seeking and personal mission that has been part of your life and instead take up the mission of the king, and then let that shape your methods, especially practicing self-sacrifice, forgiveness, and reconciliation. I've gone just a little bit long today. If you have questions, you can talk to me afterwards. I'll invite you to please bow in prayer. Father, we ask that you would be continuing to shape us and mold us by your word, that your call upon us would shape our words and our conversations with each other. God, we confess our sins and ask that you would be more and more making us to be Christ-like in our conversations. Help us to understand what it means to set aside our own interests and to take up your mission and agenda. Help us to understand what it means that we have been forgiven and so are to be forgiving. And Lord, I pray that you would also make us agents of reconciliation. Where there is so much brokenness in the world, I pray that in our conversation that we would promote peace and a restoration of relationships. In these things, Lord, we pray that we would be your representatives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.